Hello, my beauties and beauties. Welcome to today's episode of You For You, a podcast for you about you to be a better you. This is your host and creator, KD, also known as Ed, I Love Your Beautiful Face on IG. So today we have special guest, JC, also known as J Christian.
Yes, sir. One of the Zen men, one of the co-founders of Upseason. What's going on, y'all?
This is a long time collab with my boy Jay, but here we are getting it done. We've actually really bonded a lot over being the big kids growing up and just talking about our different experiences. Him being male, me being female, we've had different experiences, but it all kind of goes in the same bucket.
Yeah, it's real crazy because she really got me in a podcast right now talking about all this stuff. Like, I'm actually shocked, but you know, she got me to give in. So yeah, I am.
I know, but I'm glad you're here and I hope you're happy to be here. So first you want to start off with basically your experience and your journey, you know, all the way up till now.
Yeah, we're going to have to start from the beginning. We all started. So long story short, as a kid, I was being fed soy milk because that's what the doctors was telling my mom, which probably triggered a weight gain because I was gaining weight like nonstop. Then I was also in a wheelchair due to my legs because I was like, you know, a tippy toer. So that also got me to gain weight. So eventually, you know, I'm being overweight as a kid. It grew into high school. And, you know, you feel kind of like stuck in your skin. You feel trapped. You start being aware of stuff such as where you're going to sit. You don't know if the chair is going to break. Or, you know, you eating and people thinking you eating 3-4 lunches. So now you just self-conscious about everything. So next thing you know, you kind of nervous to talk and you always in your head. You just don't feel comfortable. So, you know, you just feel like, I felt like I was in a show. I didn't want to really speak much.
I can definitely relate to that. I understand where you're coming from. So after high school, what got you to start your body transformation? What was your drive?
In 2017, my great-grandmother, which was one of my biggest inspirations. She was always in my corner. She had a double stroke. So, you know, eventually as time was going on, trying to figure out myself, I decided to help her. However, I was having difficulty moving her around from the wheelchair. She was a little too heavy for me, I ain't gonna lie. So basically that got a little spark for me to go in the gym. However, I wasn't really persistent until I got into acting class.
Okay, so is it when you got into the acting class that you kind of became even more self-conscious? Because when you see actors and actresses on the big screen, they kind of have this look to them. Were you like driven towards that? Is that where you were trying to go?
Well, I'm gonna be honest. Yes, absolutely. When you being having all those cameras on you, all eyes on you, you definitely want to look the part. But mostly it was because of my acting. I learned that, you know, being all these characters, you have to learn more about yourself than actually the character. Because in order for you to connect to the character, you got to know your capabilities of yourself first.
So I like that. That's good. It's kind of like you already had a You For You mindset before You For You was created. So then versus now, you said that was about 2017, 2018. Now it's almost 10 years later. Do you see the change in yourself? Do you feel like you've accomplished that, or you still have some more work to do?
I feel like I made a lot of progress over the years, even though it took me time to realize that. But I feel like the process is always going to continue because it's a never ending cycle.
Right, because healing never stops. We're always moving in a direction, whether it's forward or backwards, but we're always moving. So I can give a little bit of background on my experience growing up, my childhood. I was relatively thin up until I was about maybe 7 or 8 years old, around like second or third grade. When it got to the ages around like 10 to like 13, like that preteen stage, like the big thing was prom. You have to fit into your prom dress. Like that should be your goal, to look good for prom. I've been thinking about prom since I was like 8 or 9, and you literally don't go to prom until you're, you know, 17, 18 years old. But obviously I feel like that's just a girl's experience because we're always told that you have to look slimmer and look smooth and be appealing and et cetera, et cetera. Like, I feel like that's more towards girl children to basically fit the standard of being beautiful and being attractive and admirable and things like that. Like, all those kind of go hand in hand. But being an adult now, which I feel like is common amongst a lot of adults that I know, when you look at old pictures of yourself, especially from high school, you're like, wow, I thought I was so big. Like, I thought I was like the biggest in the room. And when you look back, you're like, I really wasn't that big. Now I'm big. Plus, there's a difference between your child body and your adult body, which I feel like everybody gets into by the time they're like between 25 and 30. We're all getting into our adult body, so that's also a factor. But that's kind of just a part of like body dysmorphia when you're looking at yourself actively, and then a couple years down the line you're like, I was fine, like why was I worried about it?
For sure, for sure. But my question to you is, Compared to how you look before and now, do you see much of a difference within yourself? Like, do you see that you made progress, or do you feel like you have a lack of something that you still didn't develop from then, or did you feel like you lost it?
Actually, no, because I've always, although growing up bigger than the other kids, I've always had high confidence, high self-esteem. That never was a problem for me, but I get what you say about the self-conscious. Like, I was self-conscious about being bigger than the other kids, but it never stopped me from doing things. Like, I still played all the sports that I was horrible at. I still went to all the dances. I still wore the dresses. I still wore the bathing suits, went to the beach with my skinny friends. Like, that was never an issue for me. But I feel like now it's not a self-esteem thing. It's more of a, I want to feel good in my skin. So I'm making the steps that I need to make to be healthier. Because as we know, skinny is not always healthy. You want to be healthy, not, you know, you want to be healthy. That's the overall goal. You want to be healthy.
I admire that for real. Honestly, because not many people has the ability to be confident enough to be free in their own skin, because, you know, it feels like that self-conscious thought that, oh, I might be called out, I don't belong. So for you to have that confidence is actually rare, and that is like inspiring. But as you said, it is good and important about your health, because health is everything, and you do want to feel good in your body, especially your skin. So I'm glad you're taking those steps, and, you know, I got you. If anything, you know, I got you.
Yes, that's my overall goal now, just to be healthy and to have fun and to feel good. I can say, since starting my little gym journey recently, that I can feel the difference, like, within my skin, not necessarily in the mirror or on the scale. Like, I feel good in my skin, and I feel like that's the point.
I'm glad to hear that, but make sure you're doing that upper body, because I know the habit when y'all want to go to the gym, y'all want to work on just legs and everything else, and then next thing y'all know, y'all are, okay, my back hurt.
Actually, I have a rebuttal to that, because I don't even do my lower body. I only do upper body, because I have zero upper body strength. So, yeah.
Okay, so you have the reverse issue. So now you need to work your legs, because you're going to be all upper bodies.
I feel like I have enough bottom. That's why I don't want to do my bottom. There's too much going on down there, and I don't feel like it needs to be. And it's strong. My legs are very, very strong. So that's why I don't work it out. I mean, I feel like the Stairmaster is doing legs, so I focus on that. But mostly if I'm lifting, it's arms.
All right. We'll see in the next 30 to 60 days.
That sounds like a threat to me. So that's actually a good segue into my next question. How did you know where to start? Like, did you have a plan? Did you do research? Or did you just start doing a bunch of stuff and eventually formulated some sort of program for yourself?
So I'm going to be honest. Like many people, I thought the key to everything was cardio. And I was doing cardio like crazy. I'm talking about 60 to 90 minutes a day. It was to the point that I was like wallowing on the Stairmaster. I'm talking about I could watch movies on the Stairmaster. Like, I saw the end of power on the Stairmaster. Like, I was not playing, but I realized that as I was losing weight, I was losing muscle. Like, I ended up looking frail, and everybody was looking at me like I was starving myself, which, you know, that is not a good thing. I was also very tired, so I decided to start changing up the routine, and honestly, the gym thing I started doing was actually Sean T. It was Hip Hop Abs at first, and then it was T25, because he does a lot of cardiovascular workouts, and it was a lot of body workouts, which taps into your body more, because I didn't really want to lift weights, because in my head at the time, I thought lifting weights would only get me bigger, meaning like gaining weight, not realizing that it actually helps you gain muscle and burns more fat. It took me time to actually understand that. So over time, from, you know, Sean T, the Creed movies and stuff, I started end up progressing and realizing the fundamentals of working out and calories in and out. It took time though.
So when you did start, like initially started going in, were you worried about people in the gym looking at you, the stares? Were you very self-conscious about that, or was it kind of like you were in the zone?
I was in a zone. I actually was in a phase that it was both that my grandmother needed me and the acting career that I wanted. I was zoning out. Like, I didn't have a choice. I didn't give myself a choice. So I just zoned everyone out and I just focused on a workout.
Okay, I can see where you're coming from with that. I definitely feel like, for me, I had a lot of gym anxiety coming out of high school, because I was used to working out like with my friends. That was the whole reason why I was into sports in high school, was because it was like a hangout. It wasn't like you were working out. But when you're an adult and it's your, first of all, you got to pay for it. And second of all, it's your responsibility to get up and go. You don't have a coach in your face. You don't have your friends texting you. You're not thinking about, you know, going to, where did we used to go after practice? Rita's or Yogi Factory. Was it Yogi Factory? You're not from where I'm from. Yeah, okay, so you're not thinking about, like, we used to have pasta parties and stuff for, like, bulking up. Like, it was fun. And then when I got out of high school, it wasn't fun anymore. So when it became, like, my responsibility, it was very hard for me to go out and do it, especially moving up here. I had no friends, and I couldn't find a gym partner. So I really had to get up on my own two feet and do it myself. But that took me a long time. I did try during, when did I try? Before COVID hit, I did go and get a gym membership, and I was going for like 2 months, and I didn't really see a difference because I didn't change my eating habits. So I didn't see a difference. And then after COVID started, there was a lot of, you know, everybody was outside walking and doing stuff outside. So I did that. And then when the world opened back up and you meet up with your friends and you're doing stuff, you know, all the weight kind of seemed to come back. And like ever since then, I never went back because I couldn't get rid of that like stigma of people are staring at me or they're wondering, what are you doing here? But the mindset that I have now, like you said, I go in, I lock in, I put my headphones in. It's just me and the machine that I'm working on. Also, you kind of realize that who should be in the gym if not somebody who's overweight? You know what I'm saying? Like, that means that I'm working on something. That means I'm getting it done. And not to say only overweight people should be in the gym, but everybody starts from somewhere. And you may see me in January and say, oh, they have some New Year's resolution. They're just here to, you know, whatever. They'll be gone by next month. And then you see me in July and you might not even know it's me because I look good. Like,
that's on period. Nah, I'm joking. But listen, I'm gonna say this. You and many people, it's very understandable how self-conscious people get when it comes to the gym. That's why I said you got to really take a step back and try to understand yourself. That's what it comes down to. When it comes to the gym, you can't really say, I'm going to lose weight. You have to have a real deep reason why. Otherwise, you're not going to stick to it. Especially when it comes to the extreme that you go. You can't just pop up in the gym. I mean, you could, but if you feel like it's not going to be something in your schedule, you could fit in a schedule. You could start small, whether it's just cutting something out that's bad. Maybe if you're drinking or you drinking sugary stuff, or simply just doing a 10-minute workout in the house. You could YouTube it. You don't really need the gym. Like I said, when I did it, I started with Shanti, which was YouTube. I just did it in the house because I had that fear too. It just took me some time and I guess a strong reason why to step into the gym. So the fact that, you know, you broke out of that is good. But like I said, take it one step at a time. But when you was mentioning opening it up, when the world was opening up, I'm not gonna lie, it was getting challenging because, you know, everyone's like, we outside, what's the vibes, what we doing? And you like, yo, we out. But then it's like, dang, why we gotta go out to eat though? Now you gotta, it's like, shoot, like I dead went hard in the gym. You trying to nitpick stuff and you gotta try to be like reasonable. But there's not wrong with disindulging here and there, but you know, you got them friends that want to indulge every day. Like, you know, okay, I know you don't want to go to the gym, but chill, I want to go to the gym. And then when it comes to you going out to drink, it's so many calories when it comes to drinking. Next thing you know, that, you know, you're just mad bloated. And many people don't understand that about 71% of your metabolism will go down when you drink alcohol. So you got to be mindful for that.
Right. Definitely being in presence in social settings in general, because, you know, you might go to a wedding, everybody has champagne. You go to a graduation party, they want to take shots. It's some sort of celebratory event, there's alcohol there. So now for me, I didn't stop drinking because of empty calories, even though that is a good like reason to stop drinking. For me, it was more so of the feel good aspect. Like, I didn't want to feel hangover anymore. I didn't want the bloating. It was breaking out my face real bad. Like, I didn't like the way that it was making me feel. And that's why I stopped drinking. Or I don't drink as much as I used to. I'll have a drink here and there, but I don't really like ball out the way that I used to. But being self-conscious in the settings when you're out and, you know, somebody wants to do a toast and you're like, just put some water in mine. Give me some seltzer, like something like that. But I'm also going through, like me right now, I'm also going through the whole social setting, sticking to your goals kind of thing, because I had the goal to stay, I'm doing a fast right now. So, you know, going out with friends and stuff like that, whatever, and trying to stay within the rules of whatever diet or eating habit you're trying to stay within is definitely difficult. But I feel like if I tried to do this, like, you know, when I was like 19, 20, it wouldn't have worked out. I would have just caved in and been like, give me the shots.
That's a fact. I mean, listen, like I said, everyone's time is going to be different, whether you're young or old. But I know for me, when I was drinking, because I don't really drink, but when I drink casually, I'm not going to lie, I kind of go wild. Like, you know, you start eating stuff that don't make sense. You want wings and then you getting ice cream. It don't even correspond with each other. It's like, what are you doing? It's like, yo, listen, man.
So that reminds me of eating in public, which I didn't realize that I had a issue with until I would say maybe 22, 23, that I really really had an issue eating in public or just eating in front of people. But especially if you're eating by yourself and it's like, why they got nachos and a burger and something else? You know what I mean? Like, I feel like if you try to, like, so you know how people date themselves? So I would try to date myself and take myself out. But of course, it's like, well, maybe I want an appetizer and I want an entree, but I wouldn't do that because I'm like, okay, I can only have the appetizer because appetizers are shareable. So I was all in my head about that. But specifically eating in public, I didn't realize was such a big issue until around that age, because this was the problem. So if you're a bigger person, you go out in public, whether you're with a group or not, and you get a salad, first thing people say to you, you're on a diet. If you go out and you get a burger or you get something heavy, oh, that's their everyday diet. That's why they look like that. Like, I feel like there was nowhere to win. So my go-to shareable food before I started this fast was wings, because I feel like you can't go wrong with wings. People can eat 20 wings in one sitting. Nobody would look at you twice. But let you have, you know, a whole nacho plate or something, and then people are looking at you like, oh, you're so gluttonous. But that's also like a fat stigma. Like, maybe I just like salads, or maybe in my instance, I don't eat meat anymore. When I go out, I do get a salad, but not because I'm on a diet, because I don't eat meat. Like,
you not eating meat is crazy. Like, I don't know if I could do that. And I'm not, there's nothing wrong with wings. There's nothing wrong with wings at all. You, that was a good choice. But trust me and believe when I say I get what you mean. To be honest, you being overweight, you being obese, whether or not, it makes you more self-aware of everything, because you just feel like whatever you do is going to be seen, heard, or mentioned to somebody. So it's like you're always in your head. You gain, like, you know, anxiety, or you try to end up, you feel peer pressure because you don't want to be judged. Like, you don't understand a lot of things can happen within your body to get that way. Sometimes people do work out and they just, you know, their body have thyroid issues, or sometimes people's overeating without noticing. Like, it's a lot of things that's going on in the body. Sometimes people have sleep apnea. That also is a way that you're not getting, like, you know, losing weight. So there's a lot of things that plays a part. It can't be just, oh, that person is lazy. But, you know, being, you know, seen as overweight always connects to being lazy, not knowing that there's certain things going on with their routine that's causing issues within the body. Sometimes it's inflammation. Sometimes it's like, for me, dairy and stuff doesn't go with me, and I end up being inflamed. Next thing you know, I gain 8 pounds, and it took me to have to be aware of that so I could regulate that. So it's like, it's a lot that goes on it. And it is a lot of mental issues that could be connected to being overweight, because, you know, you're always in your head. You could be an overthinker by living in this lifestyle. Or stress. Stress could cause cortisol levels to go up, which also stops you from losing weight. So there's a lot of things that plays a part within the body. The mind and the body connects a lot. And if the mind is going down a bad cycle, your body follows it. So, you know, having these little thoughts can be a big issue.
Right. And you know what else that I didn't realize was like an issue until I got into adulthood? Unconscious eating. Because when, I don't know about everybody else's childhood, but when I was a kid and I grew up with my brothers, if we were watching a movie or we're watching cartoons or something like that, we go get the whole bag of chips out the pantry and we're eating it. The three of us, we eating it. Or if it's two of us, we're sitting there eating it. So it turned into, as my brothers got older and I was the only one sitting in front of the TV watching cartoons, I continued that trend. Oh, I'm gonna go get the bag of chips out of the pantry and eat the whole thing. By the time you turn around, you had a family-sized bag of Doritos at 9 years old. That's not cool. But now as an adult, that was a habit that I had to break and realize, like, serving sizes, calories, sodium levels, fat, sugar, like, all those things are super important. But it took me going through the motions of being a fat kid and going through the motions of starting a gym journey and really having to look at what I was eating. That's what prompted the no meat. I love meat. Don't get me wrong. I love meat. I love bacon. I love chicken. I love steak. I love all of that. But when it comes down to it, for me, I had to cut it out of my everyday eating lifestyle.
Dang, that's a hard challenge for me. Like, I gotta give you respect, because that is hard. You know, I can't let go of the wings. But me as a child, I could say that food, I could say self-consciously, I wasn't always aware, because, you know, as a kid, you're eating whatever you want, you know. But when your body's like, yeah, you ain't one of them kids, you start gaining it, you start seeing it. But I still was unconscious with it. But when it came to me as a kid, you know, being bullied as being overweight, I used it as a coping mechanism, which was also, in a way, harming yourself and making it worse. Like, I used to just use food as a way, as a kid, playing games, because, you know, I was sheltered. Because I was being bullied, I didn't want to go outside. And because I was always getting called out of stuff, you know, I just wanted to stay in the house. That doesn't mean I don't be moving around because, you know, I'll be running. But still, it's just in my head. I'm like, I'd rather avoid it. I'd rather avoid it and just be to myself where I felt like I was more safe at.
And as a kid, that is your exercise. That is your quote unquote gym, is going outside and playing with other kids. So if you're in the house, you're not getting that exercise, which also brings on weight gain. And when you say coping mechanism, definitely plays a huge part, because I didn't realize this until I became an adult as well. If I was upset about something, if I failed an exam, if I was angry, if I was going through something, the first thing that I would do is go get a box of donuts from Dunkin' Donuts. And I'm not talking about, no, oh, let me get two donuts. Oh, let me get three donuts. I'm talking about a 12 count box of donuts. And I would sit in my car and I would eat my feelings. But I've gotten a lot better, especially now being more conscious about what I'm eating. Honestly, on my way home, there's a Dunkin' Donuts. I have to pass Dunkin' Donuts to get to my house. So don't let me have a bad day and it's the end of the day, 6-7 o'clock at night. I'm stopping at Dunkin' Donuts to go get me, you know, a You Deserve It donut. But I don't get a 12 pack anymore. Sometimes I'll get two.
I get you when it comes to that, because binge eating, I still have a trouble with it. I feel like that's something that's going to take a very long time to break out of, only because, you know, you're on mad bread on Uber Eats. Sometimes you just want to be like, yo, it's easy to just go on your phone and place an order. And then you just eat it and it's like, damn, I gotta go crazy in the gym the next day. But you know, that's a cycle that you're gonna have to find a way to break, and I'm still figuring it out.
So definitely childhood versus adulthood. When you're a child, you gotta wait for mom to get home to bring you the McDouble. When you're an adult, you can either get in your car and go there, or you order it with your own money, your own card, on your own phone. You don't have to worry about nobody saying nothing to you. Food is so accessible these days. Any type of food, you can get anything on there. At one point, I remember when I worked at an office a couple years ago, the easiest thing to get was Chipotle, and I ate Chipotle every day for like 4 months. Like Monday through Friday, it's lunchtime at the office, let's get Chipotle. Once in a while I would get like a burrito or something like that, but like Chipotle, the rice and the beans and everything on top, sour cream, all that packed on me really fast, like really, really quick. And I didn't realize until I got out of that job.
Yeah, so I don't know if this is a confession, but when I was looking at them receipts from when I started adding up them Uber Eats bills, I'm like, damn, I'm kind of going out of pocket with these orders. It'd be like $1,500 within 2 to 3 months. You're like, god damn, that's rent. Like, I could have flipped that in stocks or something. You start realizing you're doing the most. And then don't get me started, when I was in Five Guys, the food was for free, so you could do whatever you want. Next thing you know, you gain like 30 pounds in 2 months. Thank god I wasn't one of them, but I was getting there. I had to be conscious about it. Luckily, there was a spot that was a smoothie spot that I was getting the fresh known green mangoes that I gotta put you on, because it's been 2 years since I was trying to put you on. Right. That actually helped me because it had protein and everything in it, and that kept me afloat.
So let's get into the topic of dating as a former big kid. This is deep right here. I'm gonna go first, female versus male perspective. Although I haven't experienced a lot of what the big girls talk about on social media when it comes to their dating life, I have experienced and noticed a common denominator amongst all of us, and that's being over-sexualized. The whole stigma against guys being truthful about being into bigger women, it's been a conversation, especially on TikTok, and some guys have come out and said, I've never had a problem coming out and saying, you know, that I'm into bigger women. That's never been a problem. But I've talked to girls who are like, yeah, I had this great connection with this person, and you know, they won't publicize me, they won't post me, they won't show appreciation to me and things like that, just because they were bigger. I've never experienced that personally, but it is a problem. The conversation that I keep seeing is being over sexualized as a child, because when you're bigger, you look older. So being 9, 10, 11, maybe you're growing into your body a little earlier, you know, the 16s and 17 year olds is looking at you like, oh well, you look, and don't let you be tall. Like, that's another thing, don't let you be a little tall for your height, have a little height on you. Older individuals, not just men, but older individuals look at you and say, oh well, you know, she look kind of good, oh she's growing into her body. And it's very uncomfortable as a little girl and growing up to be a woman. It's very uncomfortable because it makes you feel like you're doing something wrong, when really you're just going through puberty, your body's just growing, your body's changing, and already going through what every girl goes through puberty is already a traumatic experience within itself. So that, on top of being over-sexualized from a young age and then going into adulthood and not being valued, not being appreciated because the other party may feel like you have to be some sort of secret or they don't want to admit that they're into somebody who looks like you. And even now, I can confidently say, as a 26-year-old woman, 26-year-old plus-size woman, it still happens. Like, it carries with us through adulthood to adulthood, and it affects our dating lives and it affects how we think others are perceiving us. Literally the other day, me and a friend of mine were in a store and we're at the counter ordering, you know, whatever we wanted to order. And there's a group of men up behind us discussing our age. Like, how old do they think that we are? Now, my friend is tall and, you know, skinny, thin. And I'm more of a short, stubbly, like, I'm only 5'3". I'm really, like, packed, right? So I recently lost some weight and I've changed my hair. And, you know, when you lose weight, clothes fit you differently and things. So I have been getting a lot of comments and remarks about looking younger than I am, which is like, LOL, thanks. But I think on a sexual level and on a like, oh, I'm trying to holler at you kind of level, I find it really creepy because it's like, if I was 16, 17 years old and you approached me just to see how old I was or just to see, don't you feel a little bit weird in your skin that you just approached a teenager and you're like, these were grown men? Like, I was just like, I don't, that made that me in my 26 year old body felt uncomfortable from that. Like, so you can only imagine if it's somebody who's younger than 16, 17 years old, who maybe just looks a little bit older, who's dressed a little bit more, you know, for the times, God forbid. Like, and it's just, you can't just let the, can we just live like without being uncomfortable and being sexualized and being like, because those little girls become grown women and they carry that. This is a little bit off topic, but I have to talk about it because it was so crazy. I used to work at Target during the pandemic, and that first summer when things started to open up, the beaches and everything, I had a customer come in with his daughter, and he comes up to me and he's like, I need you to help me. Please, can you help me? Like, my daughter needs a bathing suit. We have a family party this weekend and she needs a bathing suit, and I don't know like how to buy her a bathing suit. And she was a little chubby. She's a little chunky girl, cute, you know, everything. So I asked her, I said, you know, do you like mermaids? You like unicorns? Like, what do you like? And the father goes, well, good luck finding her anything in the kids section. I mean, look at her, and like does a up and down like demonstration. She had to be like 7. She had to be like 7 or 8. And I'm looking at her and I'm like, I'm going to help you. Like, I'm going to help you find. And you know, Target is size inclusive. I had knew the area. I had knew the section, everything. And I knew exactly where to bring her. She was like, oh, I like this. I like bedazzles, everything. And I said, what kind of piece do you want? Do you want 2 pieces? Do you want 1 piece? Do you want to cover your whole body? What do you want? And she goes, well, I want to wear 1 piece because I don't want to have like my stomach out. And I said, if that will make you more comfortable, okay. But I just want you to know that there's nothing wrong with having your stomach out or having a little bit of extra stomach. Like, I kind of got down to her level and I let her know, like, it's okay if you have your stomach out sometimes. That's fine. Like, you know what I mean? Because not in a provocative way, but in a like, this is a child in a bathing suit. What the hell? Like, because realistically speaking, she's going to go to this family event and she's going to see her little cousins with their stomachs out and straps and this and that. Like, so it's like, what are you teaching this child by telling her you need to cover up, you need to make yourself small, you need to do this, you need to, like, what kind of adult mind do you think you're shaping by doing that? Essentially, you're teaching her that she needs to be invisible, she needs to not take up space, and she needs to not only physically be small, but mentally she needs to be smaller. The fact that she felt like she had to tell me is because she didn't want her stomach out was so heartbreaking to me. And I was like 21 at the time. I was literally in the same mindset like 6 or 7 years prior to this. So I literally saw myself in her. So she got super excited when we brought out the different bathing suits and stuff and decided to go through them. She got super excited and she kind of panned over her dad and she's like, is this one okay? Like, you know what I mean? And it was like, let's walk away from dad right now because you're having a moment. You're having an it girl moment right now and we're going to highlight that. And we sure enough did. And the fact that it was her father that was, you know, making a big stink about this and trying to like point out like, well, look at this big one. She might have to go to the maternity section. Like, he's like making jokes and stuff, and I'm like, I can see the tears building up in her eyes, and I was like, well, you know what, I'm gonna bring you to the dressing room, you can stay here, dad, like, stay here. I was so like, I'm about to lose my job because, but literally, like, you know, parents are not, as a parent, as an adult, this is a grown man and she had to be like 7 or 8 years old. As an adult, how dare you? Number one. Number two, you are in charge of what she's consuming day to day. So whose fault is it really that maybe she won't fit into the kids section? Like, how about we stop pointing fingers and look in the mirror? That story sticks with me, will stick with me for the rest of my life. Cause when my kids listen to this podcast, they're gonna be like, oh yeah, mama was that girl, been that girl. Yeah. Kind of went off on a tangent, but I wanted to share that story with you guys. back to my notes. Even in the media, old media, today's media, like literally in recent media today in this year 2025, like you can still see the stigma. That reminds me of two things. Number one, Annie from Sinners. Literally, it was a conversation among social media that people thought that that was Smoke's auntie or his cousin or something, or his big sister. Like nobody knew that that was his sexual partner until the scene started, simply because she didn't look like Mary, which is crazy to me because the relationship between Stack and Mary versus the relationship between Smoke and Annie, Smoke and Annie had way deeper love, way deeper connection, like way more chemistry between them than Mary and Stack did. I keep switching their names up. Like, and it's like when Mary first came on the screen, like you knew that she was a love interest.
For starters, y'all better check out Sinners. Sinners was a great movie. It had a lot of layers that y'all gonna have to watch the movie a few times to see, but I absolutely agree. I feel like a lot of, from a man's perspective, but even honestly, social media, a lot of people fantasize the relationship between Mary and Stat, even though the real love to me was Annie and Smoke, and a lot of people want that Annie love, but want them to look like Mary, because it was honestly, if you look at the dynamic, Annie was actually saying she was praying for him and her brother, knowing that, you know, I didn't see you for 7 years, you know, praying, sticking by his side, whether it was 7 years out in the wilderness, you know, doing whatever they was doing. While Mary was dealing with a whole nother dude, she didn't like the dude. She settled for the dude because Stat basically said, you wasn't safe with me. And you know, if you think about both characters, you know, you saw certain actions. I ain't trying to spoil it for y'all, but there were certain actions that was set that was based on one being selfish and another one being selfless. So I say as a dude, a lot of men or a lot of people really do sexualize and don't look at the internal connection. They look at the layer. And I could say that that goes back to, like, you know, women being through these statures of having to do a lot of things, such as look at themselves in the mirror, be self-conscious about how they look, how they approach people, maybe even lead to surgery. Because I know a lot of people, a lot of women be feeling like they need surgery and it feels like it has to be a part of their look and their only value based on looks. Sometimes you gotta understand people could look good 20 pounds heavier or lighter.
And that also reminds me of, did you hear about the statue in New York City that they put up in Times Square? No, you didn't hear about that. Am I from the city or are you from the city? Oh my goodness. They put up a statue in New York City and it was supposed to be of an American, African-American black woman. And they dogged it because it wasn't, you know, the IG body looking woman. And what's crazy is that statue looks like if you were to walk down the street in any city, any town, that's what a lot of black women look like from any culture, not just American. And so many people were bashing it, saying like they're making the black American woman look bad, making it look like we're overweight and we don't care about our bodies and like X, Y, and Z. But at the end of the day, that's what our moms, aunties, and grandmas look like. So why are y'all mad? Like, it was crazy.
I'm gonna have to get back to this because I'm still processing it. But you know what it is? I think it's just a lack in a way of creativity. I feel like a lot of statues show some type of glorification, shows a representation that they're like, you know, when it comes to like an art painting or some sort of thing, like if it's like a event, you know how you present your best self or you present it, it's like they just kind of just threw her in there. They didn't really, they show characteristics. Yeah, it could be arguable, but it just showed, it didn't show nothing about showing nothing, but yo, here she is. She like, she's just going to work. It's not showing her beauty. It's not showing, it just not showing, it shows sloppy.
Right. It looks like she's just going to work. And I think, okay, don't quote me on this. I'm not sure, but that's what the average black woman looks like. Like that's what the, so it's like, okay, so different statues, Kobe statue, Dwayne statue, all these people who are accomplished. So I don't know if the point of that was to make it more, what's the word? Obtainable, you know what I mean? Just to make it seem like, okay, not, you don't have to have these big accomplishments and be this person to be in a statue. I don't know the reason why they put it there, but I feel like the fact that that's what most women look like, adult women in America look like, around the world look like, I just feel like the media did way too much at bashing her and just being like, and who knows, they could have used that off somebody in real life and y'all on the internet wilding like that, you know, talking about this person. You're hurting people's feelings. That's just so not nice. And you're saying she's going to work. Yeah, the average New York woman going to work. I don't understand why they did all that.
I get your perspective. I do. I get it because, you know, it's showing like, you know, you don't have to do too much. But if you think about those other statues, you see Kobe, he's in his basketball uniform. You don't see him wearing a pack of sweatpants and he's just chilling. You see Rocky Balboa in Philly with the boxing uniform. You see them prepared to be at their best times in their lives. You see them ready to go. She looked like, what I mean by sloppy, it just shows, and it's not no insult at all. It's like, if you're going to present something, show them showing a purposeful moment. You're just showing, like, it looked like she, it like a person who was in an argument or something. Or something happened in the store and she's like, you dead ass.
It's fair. It's fair. I kind of understand what you're saying by there was no narrative to the statue. It was kind of just there for no reason. And really, I really don't know. Maybe I have to look into it. I don't know what was the reason why they put it there. And I don't know if it's still up. They might have took it out. But you know how they be putting things into black media just to get us riled up and make us start arguing and look like the fools that we like to act like sometimes. But that's neither here nor there.
In my experience, I do notice that women do most definitely get sexualized a lot. Like, I mean, to the extreme amount, to the point that women feels like they're a piece of meat. And, you know, it kind of is bad, and I feel bad, and I apologize, you know, as one of the men that you guys feel like that, because there's different layers of beauty, whether it's from how y'all see things, y'all touch, or simply just how you are, how you carry yourself. Sometimes seeing a strong woman, it does bring you peace. It does say, okay, it calms you down. Like, when it comes to, like, you know, men being riled up and angry and stuff, a woman's voice could definitely, yo, listen, calm down. All right, you got it. Like, you know, they always get that energy, and there's always more to the woman than just her beauty. Because to be honest, without the mind and the soul and the energy, the beauty is just nothing but an empty shell. That's in my opinion, though. But that protection goes to show you when it comes to the confliction and a lot of things that's going on in the dating world. So I realized when I entered dating, I'm not going to lie, I have two perspectives, because in a way I had two different, you know, identities. The first time, you know, I was overweight. I was, you know, low self-esteem. I was a different person. So, you know, how I presented myself, it wasn't as interesting. I was probably too nice. I was probably, like, you know, not as the idea of what women will want. Why, until I got my stuff together, you know, changed my fits, took care of myself, carried myself a better way, I started gaining more attention. And now all of a sudden, everything about me is like 10 out of 10. And it's only crazy because it's like I'm the same person. But, you know, then you start getting into this new identity that you start feeling a way about, because it's like, yeah, I was dead the same person. You was dead dubbing me and everything. And now all of a sudden, you on my body. And it's like, what's going on with that? Like, what changed? It could say, you know, some adjustments with how I carried myself. But it's like, I'm showing you the same thing that I did before, love. Like, what you doing?
Right. Like, you're still the same nice guy coming along, you know, shooting your shot. But I feel like also confidence has a lot to do with it as well, which women can find attractive. But it is crazy. You know, you think a few years later, the same people who would overlook you are now all of a sudden interested in you and wondering why you're not paying them attention. It's like, because you treated me like crap a few years ago.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, you got to be aware of what you did in the past. But I feel like the dating scene itself is so much, I want to fall in love, but I don't want to get hurt. I want to protect myself, that it's just so much confliction. Because even me being a nice guy, people think that's like a way of manipulation. They have so many like second guesses. They feel like that's just an act. Which I understand, because some dudes do be nice at first to try to get what they want, which doesn't show you're really genuine. But the dating scene is like, honestly, like World War III right now. Like, we just afraid, and it's just crazy.
Yeah, and when I first met you, I did think you were one of those. I did think that you were like, I don't want to say it on here. I did think that you were, you know, one of the F boys, like, you look like the type. And then I actually got to know you and I was like, oh, wow, you're actually like not a shitty person.
I'm not going to lie. To this day, I don't understand what gives that energy. Like, I don't know where that come from. I don't know if it's because I got a haircut. I don't know if it's how I dress. It's because I don't even do none of that. Like, I really don't.
And I do try to defend you. Like, I let people know that you're not like that. But I don't know if they always believe me, because honestly, you do have the look. But it could be, I don't know, it could be just the way that you dress, I guess. But you dress nicely, so I don't know. I don't know where it comes from, but that's what they get. And back to what you were saying about how people are like noticing you now after your weight loss. I feel like it's almost like when you're growing up bigger than everybody else around you. Although you're the biggest kid in the room, you may seem like you're the target. It's almost like at the same time, you're also invisible. Like people don't take you seriously. They don't value you. They don't think you're worthy. They don't think you have feelings, which is like where bullying comes in and stuff like that. In my experience, I actually wasn't bullied about my weight, not in school, not the traditional way, quote unquote. I was bullied like by my family. I was the youngest. I was the chubbiest. I was the only girl. And all the other girls, like my girl cousins that were older than me, who were like in their teens when I was still in grade school, you know, they were relatively thin. And I just kind of got labeled as like the fat kid in the family. They actually had a nickname for me. It was Fatso. That was my nickname until I was like 12. And then I kind of wrote it off. But my older brother's philosophies were, if we bully you, you won't be bullied in school. Like, you'll be able to handle it at school. But then I would go to school and nobody would bother me. Like, it wasn't like an issue per se, because like I said, I still had the confidence to do things and play the sports and be running around at recess. Like, I still did all those things. I never let it stop me. But a friend of mine was actually talking about this. He was thinner when we were in high school. How within the Black community, and maybe this happens in other families as well, in other family cultures as well, but like a part of Black culture is when you're, you know, you go to Thanksgiving, you go to Christmas, you go to the family reunion, whatever it is, and you see your family members you haven't seen in a couple years or you haven't seen since the last event, the first thing they say to you is, oh, you got big, or oh, you got real small, or you working out. But I feel like it's different for guys and girls, because for guys it's, oh, you got big, you in the gym. And then for girls it's, you got big, you need to stop eating. Like, it's downplayed for women and it's upplayed for guys. But like you were saying, nobody said anything to you until you started to get smaller, and then it was a thing that they said.
That's true. I feel like I said, I feel like when it comes to bodies, it really is more, 10 times more for women than men. I could say that I was more accepted when it came to my weight. Like, they was like, okay, you're big and whatever. When I lost the weight, that's when they was like, yo, you was fat as hell, I ain't gonna lie. Like, you'd be like, well, damn. So yeah, you was double, you know. They be going in and it's like, oh, so y'all really thought about that behind closed doors. Why? You know, when it comes to women, I could say that someone I was very close to, that she was opening up to this, that they was really like in a way bullying her. And, you know, it kind of affected her a lot, for her to really look into, like, maybe she needs to do a few adjustments. And I feel like, you know, it was heartbroken, because the girl, she has a lot of natural beauty. Like, God really blessed her. And it was just hurtful for her to feel that way towards herself. So I can understand that it could be, like I said, 10 times harder with women, because, you know, within society, women is unfortunately valued and seen with their beauty, not even the layers that they could present. So it is a lot of eyes and a lot of pressure and a lot of things that gets women to feel so many ways. And even when you do get sexualized, it ends up leading to weirdos and people trying to bother them, which is why people sometimes feel like, oh, men wants to control, like, you know, in relationships, oh, why my man don't want me to wear this and that. And it's just because of self-awareness. We are protectors and we're aware of the weirdness that goes on. Sometimes it's not really insecurity, but to protect your safety, because yes, no one has the right to look or touch y'all, make y'all feel a way, but we in a world that's not fair.
The lens that you're talking about, in my opinion, is definitely a social media lens. Like, before social media took storm, I feel like women weren't as worried about their bodies that much, or at least not on a public standpoint, because now everybody's posting themselves. Basically, back in the day, if you didn't come outside, you weren't seen. Now you can stay in the house, COVID, and post pictures all day, post your body all day, and people are constantly looking at you. When I was growing up, it was the video of Vixen. So Beyonce, Shakira, I want to say Vivica Fox, Tyra Banks, America's Next Top Model, like that was like the big thing in my childhood. And obviously even the girls from America's Next Top Model, look what they went through, who now some of them can't even come out with their story because that was a horrible experience for them, which sucks. But back then that was the body. And then when we went into like middle school, going into high school, it turned into the Kim K body, which was the BBL culture, small top, big bottom kind of thing. And celebrities followed suit, you know, which we don't have to name no names, but celebrities followed suit with that. And that poured over into society, into, you know, everyday regular people. You got people working at ShopRite with BBLs. Why? Like, why? Like, you're not... Like, you're not even, you know what I mean? Not to say that you can't do what you want to do with your body, but I feel like it turned into, we were just doing it to follow the celebrities. And now in 2025, celebrities are reversing their surgeries. They're getting rid of their BBLs. They're getting rid of their tummy tucks and things like that. Because they realize either, you know, in a long term, it wasn't worth it, or maybe they're just not happy with their body like that anymore. So all that, I feel like social media definitely plays a factor in that lens that you're talking about.
See, the thing is, when it comes to the media, I feel like a lot of things is due to insecurity causing currency. So it's a lot of things that goes on in TV to make you feel like you need to have it to show this sort of status. And, you know, as a human, you feel like you always want to belong. So if you don't got it, you're not a part of it. So now when it comes to these bodies, the reason why social media is such a strong influence is because we always looking into everybody's world, what they got going on. It's about what you present. And when you see it, you start reflecting and comparing it to yourself. It's like you taking out the joy out of your own life because of that, whether it's someone's lifestyle or their body. Like you said, people's going to work in regular supermarkets getting BBLs, but it's because that's just a part of the trend. You feel like if you're not a part of something, you're nothing. But then that's also coming down to insecurity of wanting to feel a connection. And I could say I connect to that because, you know, I was in a high school that was in Manhattan where it was right by Soho. And, you know, when it came to brands, like I'll say, you know, everyone knows the Supreme, the Bapes. You wanted to be a part of that because in my high school, I'm going to keep it a bean. If you didn't have it, you wasn't really about it. It wasn't really about how you put clothes together. At least that's what I didn't think. I just thought if you got the brand, you was the man. The point goes to show you that insecurity could put a lot of drive, a battery in your back to do stuff because you want to be a part of something. And, you know, when it comes to weight, you feel like you isolated. You feel like you're just in this category, and it's not a pleasant category because even people who's overweight have to be funny. Like, why you gotta be funny? Because that's the only way people's gonna accept you. So now you're going through this type of identity crisis because you're trying to create something for society for you to be a part of something, this lens. And then the whole time that wasn't you at all. And next thing you know, you don't know who you are. So it plays a part with a lot with the media because you could literally lose yourself within the media. That's why you got to be aware and be careful.
Right. So like social media being a mask that we basically all want to wear to make it seem like we're all on the same level, that we all have the same worth in terms of like money and material things. But talking about celebrities in the media and media influence, I feel like a big recent one is Lizzo. Obviously, I am a huge Lizzo fan. If you know me in real life or you follow me on social media, you know that I'm a huge Lizzo fan. But she basically went through the same thing recently. She just had her major weight loss and publicized it on her social media. And she's getting bashed for it. She's getting bashed for two different reasons. Number one, because people think she did weight loss surgery or she's on Ozempic, which I don't know Lizzo in real life, but honestly, I don't think that's true. And that's because when Lizzo was bigger in 2018, 2019, 2020, if you followed her on social media and you were paying attention to her, which we're talking about when you're big, people see you as invisible. They don't pay attention to you. They don't think you're worthy. Nobody was paying attention to her back then. And if you were, and you can go back on her social media and see this, she started veganism and working out and all of that when she started her Yeti brand, which is a shapewear brand. She also has workout clothes on there, and that's kind of where her weight loss journey started. Well, that's when she publicized it, but since people weren't paying attention to her then, and now jump to 2025, they're like, oh, she's taking a shot, all these different weight loss drugs that are out there now. But honestly, I don't think so. Plus, she doesn't have the Ozempic look. She looks like she naturally lost the weight, and it doesn't really look like she did any type of surgery. She's been walking around in bikinis. There's no surgery marks. There's no anything really going on. So, and if she did, she would be in recovery now. I feel like that take is really just people taking a shot at another black woman, another big black woman in media, like they did with Monique, just because they feel like she's less worthy or she deserves to be shot down. There's other celebrities as well, like Adele and Meghan Trainor. Those are white women, and I feel like that also has something to do with it. They didn't get, especially Adele, when she was bigger, she wasn't getting as much bashing because she was wearing bigger clothes. She wasn't really showing off her body. But then a few years later, here comes Lizzo, and she's open with her body. She's very, you know, accepting. She has confidence and all this, and people hated it. And is that because she was a bigger black woman, or is it because she was confident versus Adele, who wasn't really confident when she first got into the public eye?
Yeah, so you're absolutely right, because I remember people was making jokes like, yo, I'm gonna take her take her down for the team, you know. She was getting brutally, like, violated, like, really. And it's crazy because when it comes to the men perspective, when it comes to seeing it from, you know, Jonah Hill mentioned how much it affected him and his self-esteem, how people just see him as a fat kid, not taking him seriously within his own work, to the point that when he was losing weight, it was actually affecting his job for him to have to gain it. And then when you look at other people like Timbaland, where he said that it was affecting him and he was using money to layer his insecurity, and eventually he had to face that mirror, it goes to show you, like, the different perspective between men and women. Like, you could see that they get really crucified. It gets you to wonder how bad it is when it comes to, like, weight or any other layer that goes on in people's life. Like, even if you look at The Nutty Professor, like, the movie itself, where he feels like he'd be accepted if he takes one drink and he gets skinny, and this facade that he had to put on just to feel accepted, for him to want to rely on it. It was kind of unfortunate that he felt like that's what he had to do to feel even accepted, let alone loved. It goes to show you that there's different layers and there is repercussions to weight loss. And I understand, you know, everyone has their own way of going through the journey, but it could lead to crucifying tendencies.
So yes, and you bring up, you know, actors and actresses. I was going through a time period where I was watching all the old shows, like, from the 90s and the early 2000s. And you being an actor and going down that road, fat people being the butt of the joke. Like, that was a lot of the comedy that was back then. And I feel like it didn't really stop until the late 2000s going into the 2010s. And now it's seen as, like, you can get canceled real quick if you do that now in today's media. But back then, you know, we used to laugh at it. We thought it was hilarious. And with movies like you were talking about, like The Nutty Professor and just other types of media, it always seemed like if they got that, then they would be successful. The movie with Jack Black called Shallow Hal, basically the whole plot of that movie is that he's really, he's a shallow guy. That's basically the whole plot of the movie, that he's a shallow guy. He only talks to women for what they look like. He has no depth, and somebody, like, puts a spell on him or something like that, and he has to see people for who they really are. He meets this beautiful woman, and he, like, falls in love with her. And then when he goes back to his family and friends to say, I found this beautiful woman, like, I'm in love with her, this is the love of my life, they're a little confused because they're like, oh, she's not your type at all. In reality, she was a bigger woman. She was, you know, not the quote-unquote flattering, attractive look that they had back then. That movie was, like, in the 2000s. And it wasn't until the end of the movie, when he got to know her and really fell in love with her personality, that he realized, like, oh, wow, I was being a really shallow person. Even movies like that, it's like, wow. Like, that was a whole plot just against fat people in general. Like, that was just, it was insane. And another show also, Raven Simone, and That's Her Raven. She talked about recently about how when she was on set, how she was perceived as the bigger girl on set. And when it came to her costume designs that she had to wear, how it was an issue in her eating habits, and it really tarnished the vision that she had of herself. These are the same things that have happened to regular people who are not celebrities in everyday life. Celebrities are going through the same thing, but it just sucks for them because they're really in the public eye.
Yeah. And it plays a part. It definitely plays a part when it comes to these shows. Like, when it comes to, you know, being seen and being all eyes on you and watching what you eat. Like, I remember, like, when it comes to me, the reason why, believe it or not, I guess when it came to the brands back in the day when I was going crazy for it, was because my clothes was already expensive. My size is already hard to get to. You have to go online to order it. And the sad things is, it was still raggedy. It was some raggedy ass, baggy ass, size 42 jeans. And it still was like, well, damn, that shit cost just as much as Zara jeans or whatever other clothing I had. And it's sad because if you think about it, certain qualities with clothes is not really, like, considered when you're bigger. Like, you get the, here, take it. We got clothes your size, you know? So it's not showing any, like, designs. It's not showing any joy of it. It gets you to think, where are you supposed to fit in? If they don't even have the clothes for us, where do you fit in society? You can't even really look fly because, you know, you gotta go all the way around the world to put things together. Then now you gotta go back in the day and go to the 90s fits where they got the Fat Farm and all that stuff because they came with those sizes. That was the style back then.
Right. So there's definitely a difference between the generations. generations with the stigma of being fat and the definition of fat, like we said, the different bodies, and how at one point it was popular to be curvaceous, and now it seems like we're going back to the clean girl style, clean skinny girl style. So and I mean, that's just life, right? Trends come in and out, and that's just what it is. So that wraps up today's episode. Thank you guys for listening. Shout out to Jay Christian for being our second official guest.
I appreciate you having me, Khadisha. You know, go get to KD's kitchen. You know, she got a lot of good things going on. She still owes me a pack of 12 strawberry cookies. Go to J Christian Fitness on IG. Stay tuned, because there's a lot of things going on this year.
And of course, make sure you're following our page on Instagram at U4UPod.
And know that you could take everything in your control if you take it one step at a time. This is JC, this is Khadisha, and this is Zemin, and this is Up Season, coming to you at Afterlife Productions.
This is You For You, a podcast for you, about you, to be a better you.